Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Mabin, Mississippi. We invite you to stay tuned for our message.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast again. This is Elder David Wise here with you today, and we're thankful to share in this ministry and this partnership with Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church. We would love to have you come out and worship with us if you're in the North Mississippi area, and Clear Springs Church is outside of Mabin, Mississippi, and Sulphur Springs is outside of Caledonia, Mississippi, and we both meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., and then we have a joint worship service in Starkville, Mississippi at 200 West Garrett Road at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night. So we would love to see you. We'd love to have you. Email us, contact us. You can find that information at clearspringspbc.com website, and we're very thankful to have you tuned in the program here with us today. We'd like to study together the biblical account of creation from the book of Genesis and the scriptural defenses for the literal account of that, the literal creation account from the book of Genesis, and how we can defend that against all the wiles of the devil that has attempted to undermine that. So we hope that the Lord will bless our study of that topic together today, and we'll bring that message for you right after we play this song.
I have a lot of friends, so true and kind. My help and hope and glory changed. But one above them all I always find, so close to my soul, the same. I need them all in time of sore distress.
Yeah.
again. Happy Lord's Day, and we're very thankful to have you here with us. We've been trying to study together how we defend the biblical account of creation from the book of Genesis, and hopefully we've equipped you with a more skillful arsenal to be able to defend against Satan's deception, against science, falsely so called, and hopefully this has been an instructive time that we've spent together. Today we'd like to conclude this series by focusing on the scientific accuracy of the Bible. Now, again, Satan has created this smoke and mirrors fallacy that true science contradicts the Bible. Well, that's science, falsely so called. True science will always validate the Bible. And actually, it's true. There's a quote that I think is very appropriate. If you give science a few hundred years, it will eventually catch up to the Bible. And that's really what we want to focus on today, that over time, the Bible has said hundreds of thousands of years ahead of time, it, once you gave science, true science, enough time, it eventually validated what the Bible has been saying the whole time. And I think this is just one more evidence that when you think about evolution, that's not any resemblance of science. It's just a theory that's based on very little, if anything. Carbon-14, isotope, radiometric dating that is wildly inconsistent at best. What are you going to put your reliance on? I think we can put our reliance on a book that tells us about all of these things that people questioned, that people didn't know for years upon years, hundreds, thousands of years. It had scientific, astronomical, medical precision hundreds of years before people even knew anything about this thing. I think this is a evidence of how reliable the Bible is, especially in comparison to some of these tests and theories that are wildly unreliable, if not just made up altogether. So, the scientific accuracy of the Bible. Now, the Bible gives us the creation account, and we have a good answer for creation coming from a singular source. But now, science generally affirms that there was a singular event that began the universe, whether it was the Big Bang or some alternate theory. It's generally understood now that the universe initiated from a singular event. Well, obviously, Scripture answers that for us. It was created by the singular event of, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Scripture told us back in Acts 17, verse 26, among other places, that God made his people of one blood, that all of mankind came from a common source, from a singular ancestor. A modern DNA testing has made it very clear that genetic information indicates that all men came from a singular source of genetic DNA code. So DNA has proven multitudes of validations of the Bible. Think about the language in Psalm 139 about how we were knit together in the womb of our mother. Well, that knitting together literally speaks of the weaving of our DNA when we were just newly formed at conception, that weaving together of our DNA. And again, modern science and through modern DNA testing, it's become evident that all men came from a singular source. The expanding universe. It says in Isaiah 40 in verse 22 that God stretcheth and spreadeth out the heavens. Those are present tense verbs, that God is still presently stretching and spreading out the heavens. And Edwin Hubble determined, and it's been validated, that there was an expanding universe. Edwin Hubble didn't identify that until 1929. But again, Isaiah 40 in verse 22 told us that thousands of years before science affirmed that that was true through Edwin Hubble. Day and night determined by the Lord and by the rotation of the earth. God established the day and the night. He made a covenant of the day and the night. It was not understood in the scientific community that day and night was created by the earth rotating until Copernicus adopted a heliocentric world model in the 1500s. Well, God told us about that. God told us about day and night even before science understood the rotation of the earth.
the earth hanging upon nothing. That's what God said in Job 26 and verse 7. God hangeth the earth upon nothing. Well, the first scientist having this understanding would be Copernicus around 1500 AD. Again, thousands of years, but science didn't affirm this until 1500 AD. The earth was originally one continent that broke apart, Pangaea. It was noted in Genesis 10 and verse 25 that in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. Science had not reached the conclusion that there was one continent that broke up until the 1960s. The Bible affirmed this all the way back in the book of Genesis, and also Noah's flood accounts for how it was broken up. The tectonic plates were broken up when the fountains of the deep were broken up at the flood of Noah. So the beginning stages of the earth breaking apart is also explained by the flood of Noah as the fountains of the deep were broken up. And again, the Bible tells us about the earth being divided long before it was understood that the earth was one continent originally. That was confirmed by science in the 1960s. A circular earth. Isaiah 40, 22. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Really simple. He sitteth on the circle of the earth. Well, it wasn't until 500 BC that Pythagoras proposed that the earth was round. The earth is not flat, it was round. And the Bible told us that all along. The moon determines the tides. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. The ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The moon divides the tides that makes the waves roar. Well, it was not understood anything that the moon was involved with the tides until Pythias determined this in 330 BC. The wind jet stream, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 6. The wind goes to the south and the north and turns again according to his circuits. In 1883 was the first time the wind jet stream was determined after a volcanic eruption in Indonesia, and they saw the way that volcanic ash was blown by the wind jet stream. Well, the Bible told us that years upon years, thousands of years ahead of time. Not just the wind jet stream, the water cycle. All rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thence they return again together. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 7. Well, the water cycle was not accepted and understood until 1580 AD. So again, the Bible tells us about the water cycle. Science didn't find out about it till 1580. Systematic ocean currents. Psalm 8, verses 7 and 8. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hath put all things under his feet, and the sheep, and the oxen, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whosoever passeth through the paths of the seas. The paths of the seas. It was Matthew Maury in the 1800s that is commonly known as the father of oceanography. He was among the first to discover and chart the ocean currents, and he claimed that his research was inspired by those verses we just quoted. So a man who was pursuing this because of the Bible. And then not just ocean currents, but springs in the sea. Job 38, verse 16. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Hast thou walked in the search of the depth? And that's been confirmed as well. Life of the flesh is in the blood. The oxygenation of the blood and the circulation of blood is absolutely necessary to the sustaining of life. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If your blood stops pumping through your body, you're not going to have life, because of how important that is for the oxygenation and the replenishment of all of your body. And again, the Bible tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood long before that was understood from the medical community. And furthermore, the spreading of infectious diseases. I mean, the Bible and the Mosaic Law goes out of its way almost belaboriously, if you don't understand why. You know, why are you spending so much time on leprosy? and how to identify it and what color and how does it spread. And then you make sure you separate. And then not only once you quarantine, this is the way you come back from quarantine. And this is how you test that it's okay. And all of these infectious diseases, we're not going to touch dead bodies. We're not going to touch people when they're bleeding. Why did God say all that? I mean, you got to envision the Israelites were like, we're just trying to survive out here in the middle of the wilderness, right? Why are you telling us about how to handle all this, all these dead bodies and staying away from people that are bleeding and how do we deal with lepers and how do we deal with all these different things? Why? Because God understood infectious diseases, right? He understood how infectious diseases spread. And he gave some of the most precise recommendations for how to deal with infectious diseases that we've ever seen thousands of years ahead of the medical community understanding these things once we got microscopes and actually started looking at things, looking at microbiology and the way these diseases spread. Well, God knew about all that, right? And he explained to the Israelites, this is what you need to do to keep yourself safe from the spread of diseases among the people, to where if one person gets sick, it doesn't wipe out multitudes of other people. Also, the Lord commanded the Israelites to circumcise their child on the eighth day after birth. Why the eighth day? That almost feels random, right? Why did God say circumcise your male children on the eighth day? They had no medical equipment, right? They had no medical equipment to control the bleeding. How did those children not die out? Well, science has confirmed that the clotting nature, the coagulant nature of baby's blood peaks on the, drum roll, eighth day, and then returns to a normal level that's maintained the rest of their life. So God commanded for people to be circumcised, for male children to be circumcised on the eighth day, the exact day of their life, that their blood will have the highest clotting and coagulant nature. Their blood will be the thickest on the eighth day that their blood will be in the rest of their life. And lo and behold, the Lord said, that's when you need to circumcise your children. Also, a few more general things. The Bible has said all the way back in Genesis that the stars are innumerable, that you can't count them. And science has finally affirmed that the stars are just so vast that they can't truly be numbered. You know, the Bible talks of dinosaurs. You know, there's a lot of discussion and confusion about, well, what about dinosaurs? Well, the Bible talks about dinosaurs. It talks about behemoths. It talks about leviathans. The Bible addresses dinosaurs, which would surprise many people. Doesn't deny dinosaurs. It acknowledges them, especially in the book of Job as the behemoth and the leviathan. And quite a few other examples could be given as well. But these are further validations that, again, if you give science a few hundred, maybe even a few thousand years, it'll eventually catch up to the wisdom and the knowledge that we have by simply reading the Word of God. The Bible is reliable. And this, as we're wrapping up this series on defending the biblical account of creation, understand the core point is that Satan is always trying to cast doubt on you trusting God's word. That's what he did in Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said? He cast doubt on God's word, and he deceived Adam and Eve, and he plunged all of mankind into sin. And Satan has cast doubt on Genesis 1, and through that, he's cast doubt on Genesis 2 and 3. We see that by multitudes, maybe even a majority of Christians believing that man is innocent in the eyes of God. Man is good by nature. He's not dead in trespasses and in sin. Why? Why do they believe that? Because they don't believe in original sin that's validated in Genesis 2 and 3, because they don't believe in the literal account of creation in Genesis 1, okay? So God created this world in 6 24-hour days. The reason why there are humans is because they were made in the image of God. They didn't come from evolution. That's just a theory. It's not science. It's not observable. It's not repeatable. It's not verifiable. 6 24-hour days, and we have to fully take into account that Noah's flood, the catastrophic Noah's flood, the world that then was perished. It was destroyed. And the heavens and the earth, which are now, are distinctly different than the world that then was, that perished and was destroyed in the flood. Any testing that tries to validate the date of rocks or strata or any of that has to take into account, number one, that the earth was created fully mature, and number two, the effects of a catastrophic global flood of Noah. And then the proofs of a young earth, the genealogies by themselves prove that there is exactly 2,238 years from Adam's creation to Jacob entering Egypt. This earth's about 6,000 years old, and that's proven by genealogies. We see the decay of the magnetic field around the earth is proving that the earth can't be millions of years old, or the moon receding away from the earth at a constant rate of 1.5 inches per year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but if the earth was 1.5 billion years old, then the earth would have been touching the moon 1.5 billion years old. Genetic entropy. We see the decay of the gene pool, the decay of genes with each successive generation. Genetic entropy by Dr. John Sanford. He has produced great evidence of there's no way that our genes could have been replicating for millions of years, because we would have been either dead or so fully corrupted we couldn't be functional thousands of years ago because of how fast the genetic gene pool is decaying. Dr. Gerald Crabtree said that overall loss of intelligence in the human population over the last 100 years had led him to the conclusion that the peak of man's intelligence must have been about 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. Well, that sounds about right, doesn't it? Of course, the peak of man's intelligence was 6,000 years ago, because that's when Adam was made, right? That's when Adam was created in the image of God, with such superior intelligence that he was able to name the animals, all of the animals, the day he was created on day six. So again, don't be deceived by the theory of evolution and science falsely so-called. Don't be deceived by the inconsistent dating methods of isotope dating or radiometric dating, and these things that are supposedly millions of years old, but they still have carbon-14 in them, and carbon-14 can't be anything after 50,000 years. Inconsistency in every direction. And as we've talked about today, the scientific accuracy of the Bible, the medical accuracy of the Bible, the microbiology accuracy of the Bible, the DNA accuracy of the Bible, the infectious disease accuracy of the Bible, the astronomy accuracy of the Bible. You see, the Bible is tremendously more reliable than any of these science falsely so-called. But more than that, your God is reliable. God's word is reliable. God is trustworthy. He's true. He never changes. He never fails. And his word is just as reliable as our sovereign God is. So trust that. Don't let Satan deceive you. Trust that, child of God. Be sober. Be vigilant. Do not be deceived to err from the faith. And that, again, that's the danger. We're told in 1 Timothy 6 that science falsely so-called, this is not an academic discussion. There's danger of God's children having their faith overthrown, of them erring from the faith. And we've seen that happen. Don't be deceived. Be sober. Be vigilant. Study these things. Hopefully this has been instructive for you, but don't take my word for everything. Study it yourself. We have links to the study guide that is a helpful summary. But again, you need to be skilled to answer this with your own study and with your own knowledge, not just with a few links or with the document that I provided. Study this, consider what I say, and the Lord give the understanding in all things. But more than anything, trust your God. Trust God's word. He is reliable, and don't be deceived by Satan to doubt that what God's word said is true. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. May God richly bless you as we serve our beloved Creator. God bless.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Gospel of Grace, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. For contact information and to listen to messages online, you can visit our website at clearspringspbc.com. Our program is also available as iTunes podcasts under the title The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist Radio Broadcast. We love to hear from our listeners. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Tune in next week for another Gospel of Grace message. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonder.